everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 453. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, many machines here lately, and whatever else seems to tickle the fancy of your favorite co-host. My name is Mark. Some people call me the Sultan of the Soapbox, but then I punch him in the nose and it stops. And I'm here this week with the people you actually are here to see, and that is Eric, the executive, the manager, the great one, Ardini, and Steve, the door-to-door geek, McLaughlin. Hey, gentlemen.
Ah, the great one, yeah. We're going to talk about Democrats. What the heck are they thinking?
What was his Mark name?
Burgess Meredith, if anything. Mark Levin. I don't know who you were trying to be, but it was the Penguin is who it actually was.
Yeah, one and the same.
Gotcha. One and the same.
Except for this isn't This isn't AM, so that's...
Well, thank goodness, because we'd have to break every 35 seconds for a commercial.
And we'd have half of the listeners, probably.
Well, yes, literally. And they would be about 10 times the age bracket. But let's not go there. We'll see you better already there. Eric, can I ask you a dumb question? Mm-hmm. By any chance, what's the temperature in your area right now?
Door. I will look at my phone. It is 4 degrees right now. Sunday, we're looking at a high of -2. But that's not very far from 4, honestly. I'm not going to feel the difference.
I don't know. Mark, can I ask you around what's the temperature where you're at now?
It's really not that much better here. It's 30 right now.
That's much better.
For here is the same as -2.
Well, it is all relative, I will say that. Right now it's 17 where I'm at.
Okay.
But it thinks I'm in Edgewood, where I'm not in Edgewood. And I'm really never in Edgewood. But I digress. I had a buddy in South Dakota say that his favorite thing about South Dakota is when it gets to be March and the temperature gets around 35 and everybody starts wearing short sleeve shirts, shorts, and flip flops.
Right. I would say we got the same thing that happens here. I mean, when it gets up to 30 the next time, everybody will be outside without a coat. I mean, right now I walked across the parking lot at work and my head hurt. It was just so painful, the coldness and my male pattern baldness.
Ugh. Trust me, I understand. I can't go outside without a hat now because of my hair or lack thereof.
Yeah, it's brutal, man. But I'm not going anywhere. I may want to. I really am. My job is kind of has requirements that I live in this town, so I'm all right. I'll just complain about it.
You know, I really love cold weather, but that's probably because I've never had to endure more than 2 weeks of it at a time in my life.
Yeah, you know, if we could swap during this part of, I'll take. Down there, you're 17 or whatever it is, 30. Oh, you a 30? Yeah, 30. No, yeah. That's fine. And to be honest, I like 100 degree temperature. I'm fine with that. I feel much closer to death when it's 4.
Well, I'll say absence makes the heart grow fonder in relationships and in weather patterns.
I haven't tried any absinthe yet. I've been trying to stay away from anything that's supposed to make you freeze faster.
If you like licorice, you'll love it.
I don't. That's red like, licorice or black?
Well, red licorice really isn't licorice.
That's what I was afraid of. Yeah, then no.
Yeah, no, not me either.
I've been on a quest for probably 25 years now to find some alcohol I don't detest. I've never been able to do it. I have been to literally hundreds of bars in the last 25 years. I've tasted probably thousands of drinks, but they're all variations on the same thing. It's either... You know, a sour grape or a sour potato or a sour banana. It's all something soured. And I don't like any of them. I was out with some friends just today and they were like, here, you should try this. And it was, I don't know what it was, but it was like a multi-layered frozen beverage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put my straw at the bottom and took a sip and moved it up and took a sip and moved it up and took a sip. And I handed it back and said, that's unpleasant on every level.
Oh, man. It was like a milky based kind of thing?
No, it was... I don't know. It was like layers of margaritas.
Oh, yeah.
Like a 7-layer dip in alcohol.
I just don't enjoy the flavor of alcohol. It doesn't matter how you dress it up. I don't like it.
Do you like
and chocolate? I bet if you've added all up, like I said, I've tried hundreds of drinks, but if you added up the alcohol content that I've actually consumed in my 44 years, it's probably less than a beer.
Wow.
Because I take a sip and say, that's terrible, and I put it away.
Do you like chocolate milk?
I can tolerate chocolate milk.
Do you like coffee?
Some coffee.
Okay, I had a lady give me homemade Bailey's today, a whole bottle of it. That might be something, because it's not the same as everything else.
Does it have alcohol in it?
Yeah.
then there's a good chance I won't like it.
There's a good chance you won't, but it's just something different.
Yeah.
Like, if I go to a restaurant and it says pasta in wine sauce, I can't even eat that.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't even notice.
I wish you lived closer for one reason only, Mark. I know the liquor I would bring over you've never had. I will, first off, I have no problem saying that. And it's because it's over $200 a bottle. And I would want you to just sip for just the reason. I guarantee you it would taste like nothing you ever tasted before in liquor. But I'm also positive you would say, that's different. I don't like that either.
Does it burn your mouth when you put it in your mouth? It sounds like something that would be $200 a bottle.
No. Okay. That's why it's $200. Picture it. You go get Mad Dog 2020 or Thunderbird or, you know, Jack Daniels or Jim Beam, it burns. You know why? Because it's cheap liquor.
Okay.
You get this stuff, there is nothing at the end. Absolutely nothing at the end. It's the most mild ending of any drink I've ever had in my life, which now I understand why it costs $200. You're paying for it not to taste like something that came out of a chemical factory.
See, I always feel like I'm missing out on some sort of culture. There's this huge culture of people who drink and the things that they drink. And they talk about drinking. And while they're drinking, they plan their next drink. You know, and
that's because we're alcoholics.
And I, you know, I like to watch the Food Network, and it's always, you know, this would pair really nicely with this wine. And
yeah,
every wine I've ever tried is like grape juice that went bad. I just don't get it.
I've never found a wine that was like, ooh, wow, man, I can't wait to find another bottle of that. Never.
Well, really quick, Mark, don't feel bad. Remember, there's a whole culture of people out there that want to marry goats.
Well, there is that.
So. Not just because it's a culture doesn't mean that it's something you should aspire to.
Yeah, but they're not throwing it in your face on the Food Network.
Because it's not kosher. But
you have to watch a different channel for that.
Right. I went well over a decade of my life drinking nothing. I'm a yin and yang kind of person. And then I go, and I drink a lot. You're not missing anything.
You're not.
Really. Because really, the only primary reason to really drink is to lose some inhibitions and try to forget.
Well, and that's another thing that I've thought. You guys know me, right? This is me filtered. Do you really want to meet me without filters?
Kind of.
Well, yes and no. I want to make sure I'm at least 15 feet from you, and I want to make sure you're around people I don't like.
I think alcohol is used a lot because drugs are illegal.
Well, and I personally believe there are things much less damaging to psyche, to physicality, to mental state than liquor that are illegal. And, you know,
yeah, they're saying that beer sales are going down now, like in Washington and Oregon.
Oh, completely down. Yeah, completely down in Washington and Colorado.
Well, that's because football sucks. There haven't been any good games this season, therefore nobody's buying beer.
I'll say also their beer sucks.
Wouldn't it be funny if overweight, you know, beer bellies go away and diabetes goes away a little bit and all this other bad things come along with drinking alcohol.
And then everybody gets dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And man buns.
I was at Target doing some Christmas shopping the other day. They had a candle that was, the scent of this candle was patchouli and tobacco scent.
What the hell is that?
Huh?
Oh my God.
Isn't that the perfect gift for somebody, you know?
Probably somebody with dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, from I Colorado. Took us down this road. Let me take us away from this road. Hey, guys, any interesting Android-based hardware or software to talk about this week?
I purchased the Amazon 8-inch tablet. Did I tell you guys about this already?
No.
Not on the show.
So I bought the Amazon Fire 8, and it was a special like Cyber Monday deal for $59.99, or maybe it was $69. $69.99.
Originally $79.
Yeah, originally $89, and then I got it for $69.99, and then a $10 Amazon gift card or whatever. And I would have to say it's a nice. I've never paid that little for a tablet ever, other than a used Nexus 7, the 2012 version, and it's very capable.
Are there ads on the lock screen?
There is. Yep. This is with the ads, but they're not obtrusive at all. I mean, it's just a lock screen.
To me, they're stupid. To me, I look at them and I'm thinking, who are these ads for? Because they're not for anybody in my family.
You know what? I looked at one today and it was for an app that I'd never heard of. And I it was intriguing. I don't own that tablet. I've given it to my wife, so I didn't install it on her tablet. But I may go back and look for that, the app it suggested. But I, you know, the screen's nice. It's nice and bright. It's not blocky. It's not slow. It's better than I expected. And I don't know how much different it is from the 7-inch because I've got people coming to me around. I'm sure you guys do too this time of year. They're coming to me asking me about the Amazon Kindle Fire 7s and also the Nook. And they're asking me what they should buy for a $50 tablet. And I tell them all I have is the $80 tablet or the $90 tablet to compare to. But if you don't mind, you know, if you want disposability, they're all good. The Nook has Google Play, but I know nobody who owns one yet to tell you if they're fast or slow.
I can tell you they're not very good. Okay. Just because they're Nooks. I will say, bang for the buck, really hard to beat the Amazon tablets. To me, the real reason to buy the Amazon tablets, it has built-in kids mode.
Mm.
That right there is worth something. That's all I got to say. I don't know what it's worth, but to me, it's worth at least, I'd say, $15-$20.
So we have a comment in the chat room I would like to tackle. SCJ643 says that there are tools to remove the ads for the Amazon tablets. Is that stealing? If you buy something at a discount because there are ads and you remove the ads, are you not violating the contract that you signed? Are you not stealing the
product? I think so, because they do offer you the chance to purchase it without those ads, and you didn't. You took the cheap version.
I would say it's at least questionable ethics, absolutely, because I'm sure the first time you boot the tablet up, there is some agreement you have to sign. Here's one of the things I've learned with all my Android over the years. Once you tamper with an operating system, it loses something. Most of the time, it's a touch of stability or longevity.
It's soul.
So now I'm in favor of one of two things. You don't touch the OS, or you just get root and you just do your root things, or you literally just wipe the device and start new with something else. To go in and actually try to modify TouchWiz or modify the Kindle OS is because you know you're going to get an update and you know it's going to break sooner or later kind of thing. So, you know.
And it's just one of those things. It's so common. I mean, I use an ad blocker in my browser. Am I not stealing in that sense, you know, from the website who gets their money from ads? Anyway, it's something I've talked about extensively on my other show, The Geek Rant. And it's about, you know, my mantra starting in 2016 was, if you like something, pay for it. And I've tried to live by that model this last year and continuing. And just things like that. I don't know. I'm not calling you a thief, SCJ643. I'm just saying, maybe we have, as a society, lost sight of that sort of thing, that there is an inherent contract in a third-party payer system like that.
That's the exact word. On the websites, I think it's more of like a social contract that you're basically ignoring. I wouldn't say violating. You're just ignoring it like it doesn't exist, where obviously it does because nothing's free.
If they wanted to do it in a way that was unbreakable, they do it like Podnuts does and actually put the ads and do some work to have ads that are there that you aren't going to block. And
doesn't matter. You block Origin blocks our banner ad.
Oh, really?
Even though it's on the same website.
Oh, I didn't realize
because
that.
Because of the placement of the image, they say it's an ad, so we're going to block
it. I mean, if you want to go, and I'm sorry if I'm taking this show in the wrong direction, you can always redirect. If you want to go down that road, is the 30-second skip on TiVo or when I skip over an ad on a podcast? Same thing, right? Am I not stealing the content at that point?
Well,
I think stealing is a hard word. It's not wrong, but it's a bit.
I wouldn't lose any sleep over most of the things you've talked about just now, and don't let it bother you.
I also jaywalk. I speed. Yeah. I mean, there's a certain amount of it that I think is, I don't want to say acceptable. You know what I mean?
Like, for example, here's my take on podcast ads. Say I'm listening to Security Now, and they have a new ad. I listen to the ad once. I listen to what they have to say, and then for every other time that he spends 5 minutes talking about Casper mattresses, I skip that. I listened once. I got it. Casper's good. And so that's the way I assuage my own guilt about that.
Mm, yeah, there you go.
To me, certain people, I can listen to them almost every time talk about the ad, because I know it's not going to be long. I know it's not going to be reading boring. I know it's not going to be outlandishly fake and, you know, bad. My example is the show, the podcast, Material with Andy Inako, the guy behind the worst podcast application in my experience, the real heavy one, I can't remember what it's called, and then some female programmer. And their ads are belligerently fake, like horrible. And they try to always be fancily segueing to him. I appreciate the fact that Leo will at least occasionally say, "And here's an ad." I like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Instead of trying to just slip it in without people knowing.
So the Nook has 1 gig of RAM as well as the Amazon Fire 7, and the 8-inch has a gig and a half. So maybe that's the difference, because SJ also says in the chat room that the 7-inch is really slow.
I'll say it's not crazy snappy, but for what my son does, it's fine, perfectly fine. I have a software thing. I'll say, Mark, really quick, two things. One, we know Internet of Things, incredibly susceptible, incredibly questionable, incredibly security lacking. Android and Brillo has been renamed to Android Things, and it's using the Weave protocol to connect for supposedly helping programmability to be very easy. But one of their charter statements is, with Android Things, is, we will always automatically update the operating system with or without asking you. So their logic is security first. We're going to keep this up to date ourselves. Kind of like the Ring video doorbell or something like that.
So is Android too heavy to be used in the IoT world?
Personally, anything based off of Java or Java-like is too heavy for anything without extreme hard conditioning. And that's what Android is. Android is Java. That's why you say a gig of RAM, right, and it doesn't run good, because it's Java. Java is a virtual machine. A virtual machine means everything is done in a virtual environment, aka RAM.
IoT hardware shouldn't have 2 gigs of RAM to do those things.
Right. Now, if it's Android in the sense of the same kernel Android uses, and maybe a service or two on the back end, and not the full-blown Davlik, aka Java stack or whatever, it might be able to be usable, but I think it's about how easy are the APIs, how easy is the programming interface, and then how quickly can they pay off companies to use this as a solution.
You know, I've seen teardowns of like the Google Home and the Google Router, and they're basically Android boxes. You know, the Google Chromecast is an Android. So Google is all in on Android for obvious reasons. They you know, were the impetus for creating Android. But the same thing, you know, when you break down one of those boxes, it has a gig of RAM and it's got a quad core processor. And so part of me thinks, well, that's a little silly in a small device. But then the other part of me says, well, we've got it. We've got the chips. They're available. You know, in your little machines show, mini PC show, you talk about all the time, where for $9, you can get a quad core processor. It's a case of, why should you have to optimize when you can just throw more hardware at it? But at the same time, wouldn't we all be better off if you optimized?
Yeah, of course. I'll say that, of course. I will say, my experience with Android is, the more optimized it is, the less resource intensive it is. Hmm. So with like the Chromecast, that thing could have 256 megs of RAM or even less and still run fine, just because it's so heavily optimized.
Because that was the promise of ARM back in the day, the reduced instruction set code, was, we're going to strip out the stuff and it'll be slow, but what it does, it will do really well. And then even more, you know, the things like the Arduino came around, and they're even simpler. Where this thing doesn't do much, but what it does 100% of the time. And yet, for some reason, the big boys aren't using that model anywhere. They're all using multi-purpose operating systems and multi-purpose hardware to do single-purpose jobs.
I think because that's what people are comfortable with learning on right now, that they haven't, I think of myself, and I have not the mental capability to program an Arduino board, but a Raspberry Pi is more what I'm used to. You know, I'm more comfortable with tinkering with something that has a GUI.
Yeah, but you're an enthusiast. You're not an engineer hired by one of the largest companies on the planet.
I think those guys are probably making the boards that they're going to want to use and making them optimized to exactly the purpose that they want. They're not going to take a stock board and chipset off of a shelf and modify that to their liking.
I'll say, unfortunately, in this country, I believe it's the Walmart mentality when it comes to programming and hardware. And what I mean by that is, everybody is using the most powerful and advanced and simplest IDE possible, so they can hire the cheapest developers possible, kind of thing. AKA Visual Studio is everywhere. And literally, There are licenses to Visual Studio which cost $3,000 a month per seat. Okay, and people pay it. Okay, it has the promise of you don't have to code everything from scratch. You can basically use this Lego-like interface and build your application like that. And we take care of all the, you know, little things, the back-end things. Thus, when you have frameworks like that, you need a lot of processing power and a lot of resources.
Good point.
And, you know, if that's what people are hiring, that's what people are training for, that's what people are using, it's a catch-22 where they're going to keep doing it.
Until machines start writing their own code. And then they'll optimize and then, humans right out of the picture.
And then they'll be writing it in zeros and ones.
Hey, on the mini PC show door, we talked about our thoughts for next year, our predictions. And also our favorite things that happened in 2016. So I was thinking maybe we could do kind of the same thing here, too, if I'll just put that bug in you guys' head to think about towards the end of the show after we maybe do a few apps and then talk about that thing, those things.
I'm game.
Cool.
So why don't we just jump straight into the apps and Dor, kick us off.
Okay, the app I want to talk about comes with a couple man things. Okay, Eric has heard this now, I think, twice. If you have not heard of the name George Hotz or Geo Hotz, I'm not surprised, which is what I'll say. Okay. He is the guy who was born in 1989 when he was a kid, a teenager. He was the guy who jailbroke the first ever iPhone that was jailbroke. Okay. It was him. He did it. He then publicized all his code for free and said, take it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And he once in a while dabbles back in it and, you know, helps people hack the new ones. He then hacked the PS4 and he showed people how to put Linux on it. And then he, of course, left that out. He was also in a lot of trouble with FBI and a lot of people from doing that Sony hack. Right after that, I believe it was, he was basically propositioned by a couple money people, a venture capitalist, basically saying, you're really smart. What would you like to do? Okay. He said he wants to do automated driving machines, cars, automated driving cars. Okay. So he, for about a year, has been working on this called Comma AI. He says, in short words, Tesla, BMW, Volvo, Mercedes-Benz, Cadillac, all these companies doing the driver assist, the lane assist stuff, are doing it completely wrong. They're all using if statements and else statements with this kind of logic. And he says that's completely the wrong way to do it. I'm doing it the complete different way, which is I'm just feeding a bunch of data into this application and it's deciphering the data and learning how to drive that way. Okay. The venture capitalist people have been pushing him for a while now. He just released all of the source code completely open source, like less than a week ago. This application for Android came out called Chauffeur, but in leet speak because his GeoHots, CHFFR by Comma AI, App Division, Maps and Navigation, E for Everyone, brand new. I have it installed completely free in G, no in-app purchase. No in-app purchase for a reason, okay? You put it in your car mount, you point it out your front window, and all it does is look and watch. The logic is, he says, there's four stages of automated driving. Each stage, the computer's doing a little bit more work. This is the first stage. This is the stage where the computer just watches us drive and looks at out the front window and sees things, and all that becomes data into his algorithm. Now, if you click on the read more and you go down to the very last paragraph, Mark, can you do me a favor and read that paragraph?
About how much it'll use?
Yep.
Chauffeur will use approximately 10 megs per hour of mobile data while driving, about the same as 5 web page loads. It will also use approximately 1 gig of storage per hour, and it will upload the videos using your home Wi-Fi connection. You do connect your phones to Wi-Fi, right? The storage will then be freed up, and you will earn comma points.
We have no idea what comma points are, okay? If you have a lower-end phone or smaller space, you better be careful, is what I'm telling you.
Well, 10 megs per hour is not a lot, or a gig an hour. Well, if you don't have a 32 gig card, I guess that could be a lot. But yeah. I mean, the average commute is 2 hours a day or less. So you're talking about 2 gigs of storage a day.
Well, I know, but some people don't have it at work, and maybe they once in a while come home and forget to turn on Wi-Fi, kind of thing. So you just got to be aware of it, is what I'll say. And it does take a little bit of time to upload because it's going over Wi-Fi. And I have no idea what comma points are. But the reason I'm supporting this guy, here's the reason. I know it's using my data. I don't care. I know it's basically aging the internal storage of my brand new device. I don't care. I know as soon as I get home, it's almost saturating my Wi-Fi. I don't care. One of the things that he said months and months and months ago was, I'm in America trying to live the American dream. I was born in this country, and I want to send Elon Musk back to South Africa crying because I want to do stuff in this country better than anybody else ever has. And if you watch interviews with this guy, you can tell he's unique. He's a special kind of guy, is what I want to say. But he's obviously a very smart guy. And I love the idea of this. I love the idea that it's all open source. I love the idea that he wants to sell units to people and put them in current cars for the learning process of it. I think his pace for this thing is really good. I like the fact that he's an American doing it in America with an American company with American investors kind of thing. So if you have data you can spare, if you have bandwidth you can spare, if you have storage you can spare, if you can put this in your car, you'll be helping the open source community try to compete with megalithic, monolithic corporations trying to own this complete market.
All right, this scares me. And it's nothing against the author or the app, but there's two things about this that scares me. One, this is a case of, you know, the machines learning and who's watching the watchers, right? This is machine code writing itself, and there's no way to debug code when you didn't write it. And so that there could be this inherently deeply buried thing that would never show up until somebody dies. So that scares me. Secondly, it's modeling the proper way to drive by watching American drivers. I don't know any American drivers who drive the proper way. Any of us.
That's not what it's doing. First off, no driver is perfect. No driver is completely negligent. Everyone is a shade of gray. I'll say that. So what the logic is, it's going to watch you do good and bad things, and it first needs to understand and decide what is good behavior and what is bad behavior when driving. And honestly, how do you know if something's good, Mark? You got to have the yin and you got to have the yang.
You define success on how many trips you go without dying.
And how many accidents do you almost cause? How many times do you severely slam your brakes? And what happened right before that? Let's not redo that.
I'm not going to use any names, but I know at least a couple of people who will proudly say, I've never had an accident in my life. But what they don't tell you is how many accidents they've caused.
I would. If I still had unlimited data, Dor, I'd be with you on this. I don't, so I don't think I could be in right now. Did you modify your mount to this app, or did you already have it where your camera pointed at the street?
All I had to do was basically take my mount and pivot it 180 degrees and bring the arm back over. So now it's sitting just a little bit further out of reach, but it's sitting a little bit higher, and it gets a really good picture out the front window.
The problem with that and the app that you brought last week that also watches and tracks data is you can't do anything else with your phone. So you can't actually use it as, you know, navigation, for example. You need a second, or in your case, Dor, a third device up there on your dashboard.
Well, you can use it as navigation, but then you have to have the navigation volume on and turned up and be paying attention. Right. I'm agreeing. I don't like that. So what I do now is I take my OnePlus One, stick it in the glove box, turn on Android Auto, so that in dash is my turn-by-turn navigation, and above it I have my phone doing this. And I got USB-C, genuine USB-C, okay? My battery still slowly loses a charge. That's how brutal this app is. I'll say that. Because it's doing a lot. It's not only doing the camera, it's not only doing the recording of the camera, it's also doing a lot of sensory recording as well. It's recording the magnetometer, the accelerometer, all the ometers that it can probably record.
And of course, it's not doing any analysis of the data. That all happens once it's uploaded. Imagine what it would do to your phone if it tried to actually analyze the data in real time on an ARM processor.
I'm pretty sure it would catch fire.
It's a great experiment, Dor, and I'm thank you for trying to help out.
It's kind of like the other name I like pushing around is Moxie Marlin Spike. These are the guys that if they would meet and they would like take their fist and bring it together, I'm pretty sure like a nuclear explosion would happen.
Wonder twin powers activate.
Yeah, because these guys are literally the masters of coders. Like, we've never had two Albert Einsteins living at the same time. These guys are close to being the smartest programmers, period. I mean, they're like Grace Hopper level, as far as I'm concerned.
This is the sort of thing that's going to need critical mass, and I hope they get it. They won't get it from me because I don't have a spare device and a mount on the dashboard, but you know, I hope they get that critical mass because I want to someday get in the back of a car and take a nap.
Right. Well, it isn't happening yet because it literally has between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. Current version 0.13. It was updated in September, but it literally didn't become installable until like a week ago.
Maybe we can help them out with our listeners who may have unlimited data and already have them out like that. Because a lot of people like to do the screen recording of their drive anyway. And Mark Cockrell's the reason I don't have a mount that sees the street anymore, because I really love having it shoved in my CD holder, which doesn't...
Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah.
It's a perfect place for it.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. So, Eric, what is your first app of the evening?
Well, I can't compete with that one, that's for sure. I'm going to have a game. Boy, guys, I don't know if you're going to be liking this game or not, but I can almost not ever put it down. And
I can almost not ever put it down.
It's odd. Yeah. I've never had a game get me addicted to it before. And this one, I'm really... You play it, it seems simple. You play it, it seems kind of okay looking. But man, is this game addictive. It's called BB Tan by 111%. And 111% has a lot of games that have the word tan in them. And it's AA, BB, CC, DD, EE. This one, I haven't played them all, but this one is my favorite. And basically, it's like pinball, sort of. You launch a ball or a series of balls at a bunch of blocks that have numbers in them. And every time your ball hits that block, the number goes down by one. And then when it gets down to zero, the block goes away. And it's kind of like, so it's kind of like pinball in that way, the way that the balls bounce off of these boxes. Then it's also like Space Invaders, because every round, the blocks move down one. You know, all the blocks that are still there move down one. And when they get to the bottom, you lose.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's,
yeah, this
Breakout meets Space Invaders.
Sort of.
Yeah. I've got to say, 111% is the name of the developer. E for Everyone does have an in-app purchase. 298,000 reviews, 4.7 average review, between 10 million and 50 million installs. I literally never heard
these
of this.
These guys have the secret sauce, whatever it is. I've said it a million times. It's dumb to even say it again. I'm not a gamer. This game keeps me playing it, and I find myself playing it every night before I go to bed. And if you guys want to have a challenge, my top score is 106.
Okay, really quick, Eric, looking through the screenshots, because there is no movie.
That's how good. That's how good Play Store, it is.
And we know what that means, okay? But like the fourth screenshot
is a total different game. Has nothing to do with it.
And I'm guessing the fifth one
the fifth
too.
One, is a complete game. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think that there's a moon thing at the very beginning, maybe when it loads. Maybe that's the difficulty of it. I'm not sure. It's fine to play with the sound off, too, Dor. You're not missing anything there.
Ding, ding, ding. You know me well, sir.
Give it a try. I don't know what it is that makes it so good.
Because that's one of the things. If I can't mute the audio, or the audio is a necessary part of the game, I can't play them anymore. I got to give up on them. Because now I'm literally up to, I think, about 80 podcasts.
See, this is dangerous for me because I have such an addictive personality. I already get hooked on games.
It won't hurt you.
And this, you know, I finally had to uninstall the, I can't even remember what the game was now, but it was sucking so much of my time.
Marble one?
Yeah. I beat it all. I went through all the levels and had to quit because... Like a good addictive game, when you beat it all, it just loops around and you start over again with no fanfare, without telling you anything. It just says, oh, yeah, we're starting back over at one. And I found myself like level 20 again going, this sure looks familiar before I realized that. And it's like, you know, now then I realized the depth of my addiction.
Oh.
Magnetic balls, that one.
No end screen, no little
just
animation. Dang.
Well, because then they get you to think, well, maybe if I beat it twice in a row back to back, I'll get some fanfare. Now, maybe that's
it. It does have this countdown timer at the very bottom that counts down from 30 minutes. And it says on the first screenshot what happens after 30 minutes. I don't know. I don't know what happens after 30 minutes. It seems like I've played the game that long, but maybe I haven't. Well, Mark, you can just play to beat my score, which will probably happen your first go around anyway. And then you can say, well, at least I beat Eric. I can uninstall.
All right. Well, I mean, it's installing. I had to. But, you know, I may not be here next week, or I may still be in this chair next week.
I'll tell you what, I've showed up late to a podcast over this game.
It's the simple, okay. And I love the Arkanoid style games. I love that. So, this is just like checking every box. This is cocaine level addiction for a guy like me.
Well, and see,
you're welcome.
They hit one of my sweet spots, which is taking simple gameplay mechanics from more than one game and combining them into one simple game. You don't need crazy graphics all the time. You just need basic mechanics that are easy to understand, that you don't need to be told. That was another Elon Musk saying. If you design something and it needs to have a manual with it, you designed it wrong.
And I'll tell you, there's such a satisfying feeling when you get the balls moving the right way and they just go crazy and just almost clear the screen out of nowhere.
Right,
it feels
exactly.
So good to get to do it, and it happens more often than other games.
Well, and like one of the things I got to say about the shapes is they're squares, but then they introduce different shapes, which will cause different ricochets and different angles. But I also see circles with pluses, and then I see like circles with dashes in them.
Okay, the circles with pluses give you another ball. You start out with one ball. Every time you hit a circle with a plus, you get another ball. The greenish looking ones with a line going up and down, that's like a laser. If you hit a ball on that, it sends a laser which goes whichever direction those little lines in there are, that will basically send a laser through every block there and knock it down one.
Nice.
Right off the bat, there are squares and triangles, though. Those are introduced later. Everything is right. The first screen you do has everything. Nothing is added later.
Okay. It's sold. It's installed here, too. I got it.
I'm sorry, I'm playing the game. I can't.
I know. Okay.
Next we'll just, whoever's turn it is. Yeah.
Okay.
You've already started?
What?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay. What I'm going to bring next is a game that I believe, brought up on Linux for the Rest of Us via Steam. I played a little bit. It's now officially available on Android. Worth every stinking penny is what I'm going to say. I believe it's originally $5.99. I've actually posted on our channel. Right now it's on sale for $1.99. For $1.99, this is a steal. This is a steal. Also, this says everyone 10 and up. I say I'm not sure about that. I say teen, you know. And it's only the words. It's not the graphics. It's just the words. For instance, this is a sarcastic game making fun of older games. It's a top-down, three-quarters view, Zelda-ish, early Zelda-ish, like Zelda 1
like Zelda.
type gameplay. And a good example of how it's sarcastic about this whole game genre is the first time you kill a creature and there's a heart laying on the ground and you pick up the heart, it cuts to a close-up of you and your annoying sidekick, because just like Zelda, this annoying sidekick, and your sidekick looks at you. You have the heart in your hand with a big bite taken out of it. There's like blood going down your hand, and he says, "Dude, what's wrong with you? What are you doing?" He says, "What? This like helps my life out." He's like, "Where did you get that?" He said, "Off the ground." He said, "Dude, you don't eat things off the ground. What's wrong with you?" He said, "5 second rule." And what I never noticed was in the old games, old Zelda, it was about 5 seconds that the power-ups would go away, like the five-second rule. So, you know what I mean? It's kind of funny like that. A lot of puzzle mechanics, a lot of puzzle gameplay, I will say with this, very dungeon-focused gameplay. The whole reason I think they're doing it now on Android is that I think they're really getting ready to release a new game soon.
I like the hand-drawn look to it, like it's all pretty artsy.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of fun. I will say that. I think it's a lot of fun game. $1.99. As soon as I saw it for $1.99, couldn't stop myself. Had to buy it. And on the GPD, perfect. It's like perfect. It's like it was designed for that handheld. Is what I'll say. It just works great.
All right, I'm gonna buy it. This isn't my genre, but if Door says it's that good for that price, I'm going to get it. And I haven't played Zelda since, I don't know, my friend had it back in the day on the original Nintendo. So I'll be able to install this on the Nexus 7 and see how it goes.
Right. And I'll say, and you can use different control mechanisms, which is unique for the Android model. And if you look at the video, and unfortunately it has a video, at the 1:06 mark, that's where you can see your fuzzy character with wings saying, okay, that's just sick. Is that a heart? Where did you get that? And then you see yourself with a heart in your hand and with a big bite taken out of it. Yeah, just a simple, fun game is what I got to say. Puzzly. I don't want to say adult topics in the words, but not young kid words.
Yeah, I'm a little worried that you know, all these Google surveys from the Google Rewards app that I've been taking, they expire after a year, and I'm afraid if I don't start buying some stuff, I may start losing some of that money. So I'm kind of on a spending spree for things that cost a little bit of money right now.
I didn't know the money expired. It says it
when you take the survey.
Oh, well, you read them?
No, I read the fine print one time or something that said it expires after a year or so.
Gotcha.
Is it it'll do?
It'll do.
Yeah. It's almost like a play on words. The word little minus the L, like a contraction that doesn't exist. It'll do.
The do is D-E-W.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it looks like if you were a Zelda fanboy, then this game was just for you. I never was. So I'm not really getting it, you know, as I watch this video. But I can certainly think of several friends that I know who would totally love this.
Yeah, I'll just say kids usually take after their parents. They idolize their parents. The whole way from picking up my kid today, and it's on Voxer in one of my chats, my youngest son the whole way was just humming them really loud in the backseat of the car, the original Zelda theme. And I don't know why. I didn't put it there today. I got in the car. Dun, 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 dun. And when he does that, he sings. Music means he's happy. He's the kid who's easy to read. When he's singing, you know he's happy. So I felt good.
It'll do.
I couldn't tell.
It'll do reminds me of a crackhead one time I heard say the word "it'll work" because my friend Ed looked good to her at the bar one day.
All right. On that note, let me read an email. The one email we have tonight, which is also an app from Corey McCreary, says, hey guys, I found this gem the other day. It's a basic SMS notification app with a neat predictive response feature similar to Allo. Didn't see on the list. Hope I didn't miss it. Keep up the good work. And it appears to be called Fluent-E. And I put the link in the chat room there so that you can click on it for your perusal.
What was the guy's name again, please?
It was Corey McCreary.
Corey, thank you very much. Okay, honestly, I am all in favor of predictive responses because I'm lazy. I'm an American. You know, I kind of like the idea of that. Also, it has Android Wear. Oh, Android Wear. Okay, early prediction. At the end of 2017, Android Wear will not be a single ounce more popular than it is now.
At the end of 2016?
At the end of 2017.
All right. You know, honestly, I don't wear my watch much anymore. It's mostly because I forget to. This, though, you know, I like the idea of Fluent-E. I installed it. I don't use the predictive text only because I'm kind of paranoid that somebody's going to pick up on it, that I'm actually using the text, the suggested text, and that I'm not being sincere by typing a response personally to them. So I think having multiple ones of these would be nice. So that if they're using the Allo app and they know that, oh, that's a canned one button push. Thanks, Eric. You really care. At least this one may be mixed up a little bit, has some different words that it uses and phrases that it uses that maybe the Google app doesn't.
Well, I'll first off say you don't have to worry about that because nobody uses Allo.
Well, I don't use. I mean, this is on like Inbox. You know, Inbox does it automatically, and I do use Inbox.
I like this well, nobody thing, wouldn't know. But I would like it, and I'm not seeing it in the description. I'd like it more if it had like voice prompts too, because I do a lot of talking to my phone while I'm driving, and you know, I dictate the text. I don't see in here, at least in the few pictures, where you can dictate a canned response. Like it'll pop up and say, "Do you want to use this one?" You say the second one.
It does.
That would be nice.
It does have the permission of record audio, so maybe it uses audio for something.
I like this bullet point. Fluent-E isn't just smart, it's witty. Fluenty's AI engine is tuned to add an element of fun to conversations. Fluenty's AI engine is trained on more than 700 million public conversations from the web, i.e. Twitter.
Huh.
Well, A, I don't want some chatbot to be wittier than me, because then what happens if it goes down? I mean, come on. Two, everyone knows when it's an automated response with me because there's no spelling errors or typos.
Maybe, hey, you never know. Maybe we'll do that. Just keep it real.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's an option.
Right. So that is my one email, people. So this is my plea to you to send more emails. Make it your New Year's resolution for 2017 to send more emails to aaa@podnuts.com. Dor, I believe you're up.
Well, I'll say emails are always good. And once in a while, challenges with a voicemail can't hurt. But I want to also take this time to thank Tim for his Patreon support. I believe I forwarded that.
He did. I was going to get to that later, but okay. All right. We did it now.
I was paranoid we were going to not.
Thank you, Tim Lasswell, for your generous pledge.
Nice.
I'll just say, really nice guy. That's all I'm going to say. I kind of know him. Email Corey. Sorry, typing. Brain working, I swear. Okay. Let's do one more app, I guess. Let's say. Okay. The app I'm going to bring, was, Fluity. Okay. I'm going to bring this one only because it's another Lego app. And I'm sorry. I don't think you can go wrong with Lego apps. Lego Jurassic World. My son literally has no idea what Jurassic Park is. It doesn't matter. He loves this game. It was $4.99 Amazon opinion rewards. No video in the Play Store. No video in the Play Store, people. That should tell you something. Right now, there is a sale going on with a bunch of the Lego apps, like Lego Star Wars Complete Saga, which is literally, I would say, a 7-hour game. I don't know how many games can say that. I'm just saying. With it, that's much interactivity. This was a very good game. A bunch of shorter stages. None of the stages seemed really long. My son, definitely youngest one, came to some spots where he died a lot, but he literally muscled through it. He usually doesn't muscle through it, but because it was Legos, I think he had a blast. E for Everyone, 4,400 reviews, 4.3 average ratings, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs for a $4.99 game is saying something.
All right. You know, you keep bringing the Lego ones. I don't install them probably because I don't have young enough kids, I think. I should probably go back and give one a try. It's been since Lego Star Wars, I think, that I did one.
I'll say this. A huge majority of them are extremely kid-focused, no doubt. But if you just click on, I believe, Warner Brothers, I think, thank thought. Yeah, they don't do them all. That's one of the problems about the Lego games. It's not super easy to just have them all in one shot. But I will say the Lego Star Wars was among the better games, and that's because it was basically a direct port of the Xbox, PlayStation, Wii game. And come on, everybody likes Legos, right?
Yes, everybody. I think everybody does.
But here's the thing about these games. It's not Lego. I mean, it's Lego characters. It's an animation that happens to have a claw for a hand. It's not Lego. I don't understand how you could say this is cool because everybody likes Lego. What am I missing?
It's kind of like the Lego movie, which I thought, where not all the background settings were Legos, maybe?
But the Lego movie was a fun movie, but it wasn't. I didn't like it because I liked Legos. I liked it because it was a fun movie.
Well, modern Legos aren't about Legos. Modern Legos are about brands. And like my youngest kid, he basically doesn't want Legos anymore. He's came out and told me, I don't want Legos. I want the Lego characters and the animals and stuff like that. I'm not going to say it's good, Mark. Trust me, I'm personally more of a fan of the classic Legos. You literally have to use your imagination, dare I say, because the gun that you build looks nothing like a gun.
Maybe I'm just having a get off my lawn moment. No, I'm okay with that. All right, Eric.
No,
I don't think
that's it, Mark.
Well, let's get off. I'm going to bring another game then. This is from Super Cookie, and it's also another super crazy popular game. And it's called Crazy Coasters Rainbow Road. And it does have a video, so maybe it's not that super cookie of a game. But basically, it's a little gory, I think. It's probably, I think it is rated 10 and up. Basically, you've got a group of people riding in a roller coaster on a randomly created track, and you need to hit the brakes at the correct times to keep them from getting smashed. And you can kind of stick with it for a little while and lose a couple cars behind you and keep it going, like with one car left and everybody else dead. And just, it's kind of a distance to see how far you can make it.
So is there a risk of going too slow, number one? Or is there a time thing where you got to get to a checkpoint before time? Is there a reason to keep speed up?
Yes, there's loops. You must keep speed up for loops and you know, physical things like that. There are parts of it where you would actually ride on the outside of the track. And if you didn't have enough kinetic force or whatever, the centrifugal force to stay glued to the track, you would fall off.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of this graphic style.
Yeah, because it's got cute little bunnies and mice and kittens.
Well, just because it's non, you know, crazy fancy. It's just little, simple, bright, colorful.
And the gory animations of death are not real gory. It's just like really animated kind of blood blotches and pieces of bone in an ornamental way.
Pieces of bone in an ornamental way.
Yeah.
That there's a song in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see, unfortunately, giving this to my younger son and literally hearing him cackle when the cars crash from about a quarter mile away. I can't remember where we were at. Oh, we were out in one of the stores, and we were asking him, what do you think somebody would like for Christmas? One of his friends. And he literally went through the toy area and he picked every evil character off the wall. It's like, what about the good people? He said, I don't really like the good people. So he would, I think, really enjoy the crashes.
We've got a moment here for an interpretive speech. Mark Cockrell, could you read the first user review by Troy Loffer?
Okay. It's like the 80s again. Back when you could be violent and gross, but still laugh your ass off. Make more games, please. Maybe make a blood toggle so that those people who hate fun can play. You could probably just turn blood yellow and claim it's sparkles.
I love that comment. Wow. That sums up the game pretty well.
Sparkles. That's awesome.
Sparkles. Everyone likes sparkles.
I know. I've noticed, like, my son, which I don't regulate, and I wouldn't tell him not to do this, but he, on his own accord, turned the blood in Call of Duty to paint gun splat.
Yeah. That's good.
So he's shooting up everything with paint gun balls throughout these really cool guns this season.
Gotcha.
Very early on, when my oldest, who is now 14, was 2-ish, right around that age, I had some friends over and we were playing Halo 2. So that's when it was. And we had the split screen thing going where there were four corners of the screen and four people were playing. And I was up in an area, and I zoomed in with the sniper rifle, and I was just picking people off. And just as I shot some guy in the head and his brain splattered out, she walked in the room and went, uh-oh, he fell down. And I thought, oh, I can't play this game anymore. I don't want my kid to be seeing people's brains get blown out, but I love this game. So
I was a youth leader at a church the first time I ever saw Halo. And the church, pretty cool church, they had Halo LAN parties there at the church for the teens.
Well, but in Halo, you're killing bugs, right? Aren't they like gigantic bugs? They're not people.
Depends on what, how you're playing. If you're doing like a death match, then it's people on people.
Gotcha.
All right. Do we have any more apps, guys?
I just have one regurgitation and then one quick app. The regurgitation is last week I brought Star Combat, where every picture screenshot in the store was Russian. Well, I played the game more. There's no Russian in the game. I'm telling you people right now, that game is ridiculously gorgeous. If you just want to look at the processing power and the graphics capability of an Android device, Star Combat, download it. Just go through the tutorials. It's easy. You don't need, you know, it's not, whatever. Just play it for a little bit and you'll see. It is literally crazy good looking. And then the app I'm going to bring, let's put in the chat. This is the app I promised I would bring literally like 6 weeks ago now. This is one of the music apps that I showed Steve Turbino, and he literally, like, freaked a little bit. I could, like, over Voxer hear him, like, where'd you get this kind of thing? It's called Sun Vox. E for everyone, 867 reviews, $5.99 to buy. Once he saw the price, of course, he backed up because, like everybody else, when we're, for some reason, when we're talking about apps, you take the price, you times it by 10, and that's what we think we see when we that we read it. It's a $6 app, 4.8 average reviews, 10,000 and 50,000 install.
What did you?
This is a.
What are you talking about? What app are you talking about?
I put the link in the.
I got a link to Microsoft chat. Solitaire.
That's not me. Read. That's not by me. That's from somebody else.
Okay.
Gotcha. This is called Sunvox. This is a music generator app, I would say, or music creation tool. A lot different than a lot other ones is what I'm going to say. You can literally use MIDI type interfaces and program music is what I'm going
to
say.
Can you plug a MIDI keyboard into your Android device to use with this? MIDI import export?
Yeah,
right there. That's what I've been looking for. Thank you. There's another $6 I can spend on out of my money that I get from survey rewards.
Right. And if you look at the very top left of the window, this is what I know. I actually did some music creation. I'm not going to say I was any good, okay? Period. I'm not saying that. But in the top left, you see 000, 001, 002. And then you see D605A205A007. Mm-hmm. That's a tracker. Tracker is like the old school piano roll, digital paper where you can change the tempo, you can change the pace, you can each one of those D605A2 represents a code that references a instrument, a pitch, and a speed, and then you can basically push it out like a tape.
Like
yeah. Yeah, I just thought this was a really cool app, and I knew when I got the approval from Steve Trevino that this was a, he said, like, where was this app X number of years ago kind of thing. Yeah, really good stuff is what I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, it's come to the point as an old school music guy that, you know, was going to change the world with the beauty of rock guitar. It's come to the point now where these devices in our pockets running Android are more powerful than studio-grade equipment, you know, 20 years ago. So it really is, when he says, where was this 20 years ago, it was in a multi-million dollar studio. That's where it was. And now it's in your pocket for $6.
GNU Ninja in the reviews answered my question. It says, awesome. This has to be one of the best music apps on Android. Recommended. One wish. When can I connect a MIDI keyboard? This is still not supported. That's what I'm waiting for, too. So I didn't press the button yet. That's what I'm waiting for. I got a MIDI keyboard.
Gotcha.
That is just the keys are tarnishing from not being played, and I'm waiting for it.
What is the connector on a MIDI
USB.
Keyboard? That I'm sure. Well, then see, that to me becomes more of a Android OS driver thing, unless the application wants to literally provide them, which they're going to only be able to provide them probably for specific devices.
I mean, it's a M-Audio USB keyboard or a MIDI keyboard, you know, and an OTG, and I'm thinking an OTG cable to that, and it should, at some point, that should work, I would hope.
I would honestly say, you have 15 minutes. Buy it, download it, plug it in, see if it works. If it doesn't, and you don't want it, you can return it. That's what
that is a good thing. You're right.
In the words of Vicini, you'd like to think that, wouldn't you? Think it should work, but it doesn't.
Only slightly less known.
The good news is that it's eligible for Family Library for anybody not using the service that Google rolled out specifically for families back.
I love Family Library.
I'm gonna throw one more. I'm gonna throw one more out here. I think if I can, yeah. I'm gonna throw one more app out here before we go to our other segment here. And this is just real quick. This is for people who like other podcasts. Would like a quick and dirty soundtrack to have in the background, or if they like Sean Johnson and his type of podcast. And this is called Pocket Sitcom, which is basically just a fancy looking, what do they call these? Soundboard?
Half-track.
Soundboard?
Okay.
And maybe you could use this at your upcoming Christmas party or whatever, but you can get laughs and clap, things like when somebody says something where you diss somebody else, you can just go like this. You get laughs, and then they've got like music from old school, things like that. If somebody says a lame joke, everybody wants to have that, you know, by their side, and that one too. Or if you're a little bit newer,
nice.
Yeah, it's a soundboard and a nice little interface for free. So
With in-app purchases, so I guess that kills the ads. Yeah, ad-free buy now for a buck. That's the last screenshot.
Yeah, I didn't play with it a lot, but I never did see an ad. I did see that, though, and what it is, that's in the last screen. It's got
5 stars. I'm currently using it to drive my roommate to the brink of insanity. While she might kill me in my sleep soon or poison my food, it will all have been worth it just to slowly lose her mind.
Well, gaslighting's making a return, so yes, it's an appropriate aged app for driving somebody crazy.
Mm-mm. What a world, what a world.
All right, that's 9 apps. We gotta have one more door to close it out with 10.
Okay, well, I think you can't go wrong with zombies, right? I mean,
no,
zombies.
Darn right.
Here's a game. I believe it was brought to me in the Google Plus community. No video in the store. Zombie Highway, T for Teen by Auxbrain Inc.
Oh, yeah.
Top developer, 222,000 reviews. Free to download. And there is some in-app purchases going on here. Give me a second here, sorry. 4.3 average reviews, between 5 million and 10 million installs. Basically, you've got to, like, survive, upgrade your vehicle. There are times where literally you're driving down the road and zombies are hanging on and shaking and rocking your car back and forth. Your basically goal is to not die and don't let them flip your car.
Is it an endless driver then?
I don't think it was endless. I'm pretty sure there was like stages I had to get to, like ending of stages. Okay. But they were long. I will say I don't like me, not a fan of fast zombies because it's because we all know zombies can't be fast.
World War Z though, man.
Well, I don't care. Zombies can't be fast. Rigor mortis would make the muscles atrophy. It's where they won't be able to move fast. Just saying. With all that said, I still found some fun in this game. The night mode, I had to get to a night mode track. That was really friggin' hard.
My mom used to like Night Driver on the Atari. I wonder if she'd like this.
I do remember that.
This almost is enough to get me to download it just because I'm curious. I hate endless runners. I'm not a fan of zombies. But the graphics look cool enough that I might just decide to give it a try. I mean, who doesn't want to smash some undead people?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say, when in doubt, all you gotta do, go to YouTube, Zombie Highway 2 Android, and you'll see really quickly if this is what you want or what you don't want.
I'm gonna install
it. I will say,
myself.
I really don't like not being logged into my Google account because then I get ads that really I just can't stomach anymore. Any YouTube ads, it's bad. Yeah. I'll say. Honestly, I think this game was fun. That's all I got to say. You know, and it's zombies. I mean, zombies.
Right.
Okay, so I'm watching a YouTube video, and the zombies are ripping parts off the car off as you drive. So you have to run them into things to knock them off of your car, but you got to be careful not to, you know, damage your car enough that you can't drive anymore. Okay, I get it.
Right. And you don't want to stop. That's one of the things I remember. You do not want to stop. Stop death.
Okay. Looks like fun in a weird, demented, post-apocalyptic zombie sort of way.
It's that time of the year, Mark.
Yeah.
The most zombie-ful time of the year. I bet that's going to sound weird to somebody listening at 3X. Jonathan, Nato, let me know what that sounded like. Okay, that's it. 10 apps. Let me read them for you. Chauffeur by Comma AI. BB10 by 111%. It'll Do by Ludosity. Fluenty by Fluenty. Lego Jurassic World by Warner Brothers International Enterprises. Crazy Coasters by Rainbow Road. Sunvox by Alexander Zolotov. Pocket Sitcom by Kid Rocket Studios, Inc. Zombie Highway 2 by Auxbrain. That wasn't actually 10. I had one app open twice, so it's just 9 apps. Sorry. I had one tab open twice. So there you go. There's the apps for the evening. Dor, Eric, any last words of wisdom?
Okay, I mentioned something earlier in the show that I want to do. So we're not totally out of apps yet. I want to give my favorite apps of the year for 2016. Oh, okay. And then also my favorite, my prediction for the year, if that's okay.
All right.
Or if you guys want to, too. I'm having a problem finding one of my favorites, though.
Talk about it.
One of my favorite apps of the year, Dor brought, and it is an app called Apps, which is horrible to find in the Play Store. So I was hoping I could get a link in here. And I forgot that app that I used to use to find that stuff.
Yeah, here it is. I'll put it in the chat now. Yeah.
So apps, yeah, it's called Apps Play Store. Scroll up. It's called Apps Play Store Without Games, and it's by Happening Studios. Thank you, Dor. I was like half of the show looking for the thing. And this app is one of my favorites of the year. It is an app that shows you the Play Store without any games, and it's nice for finding work-type apps and everything except for games. My other favorite for the year, since I've kind of had the VR beat, I believe this was also a Dor app, or at least he suggested it to me before I brought it. And if you've got a cardboard or some kind of VR headset that you're going to show off this holiday season to your friends and family, give them the 6-minute experience of the Bohemian Rhapsody experience. That's in my views of what I've seen coming out of a telephone or a cell phone in a cardboard. This is the coolest bang for the buck. Well, of course, it's free, but it's a great jumping off spot for people. It's a little long. Make sure your battery's charged, but people like it. Those are my two favorite apps of the year.
Yeah, and hopefully your phone won't overheat. Just saying. I'll just say one of my go-to apps, I'll say Voxer. I literally cannot live without it. Part of the reason is I have a mental, I'll say a mental stigmatism against phone calls. I don't even like talking on the phone with my wife. I literally don't like talking on the phone, period. But for some reason with Voxer, I can talk. Voxer is basically old school Nextel walkie-talkie type thing. But the gimmick is you can go back and listen to the message as many times as you want. It's using the Speaks codecs, and it's so quickly you can literally have near absolute real time, as close as you can get with people on the other side of the world. Or you can just communicate in text, or you can communicate in pictures, or you can communicate in GIFs kind of thing with Voxer. You can have group chats, you can have individual chats. I just cannot. And it uses so little bandwidth, you won't even know it's there.
It's like when you were kids and you had the little walkie-talkies with the steel antenna that would only go around your, you know, yard. It's like that, only it works, and it can be anyone, anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I love Voxer, too. They even sent Sean Johnson a shirt one time.
Yeah, that's right. And they literally are giving us, we've had Voxer Pro now for 3 years, I believe 3 years in a couple weeks. We only paid for 1 month.
Are we still using Voxer Pro? I didn't even realize what I was missing then.
I am. I'm still using Voxer Pro.
I can't tell that I am not.
Well, it's now one app, one code base, but you can log in with your Pro or your regular account.
Oh, okay.
Predictions, Samsung is going to continue to suck and lose market share horribly because they cannot make affordable priced phones. Everyone thinks they have to be the next Apple. Everyone thinks they have to be the next Apple. The Google Pixel phone will die a miserable death. People will realize soon, if they take long, it's not close to worth the money. There's nothing special about the OS except for security updates. That's really the only reason to have the device. And if you want to pay twice as much or more for some sort of satisfaction of security updates, even though all of us, everyone who listens to this show inside the continental United States has never seen anybody or heard of anybody with any actuality of an actual infected or compromised Android device. But yet we have to fear about all these security updates. Yet we have to fear about stage fright. I want the FUD to stop about Androids, about exploits, about malware, about infections, because every time you see a story about that, if you read into it at all and they actually tell you facts, it's all third-party installations of apps, aka from the Chinese marketplace on Chinese devices inside the borders of China. That's my prediction. I want it to stop, but it's only going to get worse. We're only going to get more fear, more fear, more fear, because fear drives clicks. Clicks drive traffic. Traffic drives money.
But for a positive spin, you're saying for the next year, we're not going to have any Android viruses.
No, not in reality.
That's a good prediction.
Just like there's no Linux viruses in reality. There is things, but they're not.
My prediction involves the word Pixel too, but mine is in hopes the Pixel 7 will come out in 2017 with Andromeda. That's my prediction. How about you, Mark? You got any favorite apps or predictions?
Well, this may seem self-serving, but it is actually my favorite app, and that is the Castback app. It's still advanced beta. It's still got problems. In fact, I've got some stuck downloads right now that I'm a little frustrated with. But it's being updated. It's still getting better. But honestly, I think it's the best podcast app overall I've ever used, even with the problems. And it has the added bonus of being able to form a community right in the app with your comments. And I wish you guys would do it more. You. Yes, you. I'm listening. I'm talking to you. The one listening right now at work. Stop typing. Go download Castback, the free version or the paid version, and get involved in the communities. Anyway, that really is my favorite app of the year. And I've got several apps I use every day, but that's kind of my one, you know, my one daily driver. I'm looking at my app drawer right now saying, what can I consider the my favorite app of the year? And I don't know. That's about it. There's a stupid little game that I found about here called Basketfall, and it's the dumbest thing ever. It's a cut the rope style game.
Yeah.
But I can't stop playing it. I pick it up, you know, it's a perfect waiting in line or, you know, trying to make yourself tired before you go to bed game because it requires zero thought. But yeah, that's probably that. My prediction for the year, I think 2017 will be the year that premium hardware makes a comeback. For the last couple of years, there's been a race to the bottom in hardware prices and in specs, you know, a la the Amazon Prime tablet that we were just talking about. It's a fine device for its price, but you wouldn't use that device if it wasn't cheap. Mm-hmm. And so I think 2017 is the year that people start paying for a better experience because we've already flooded the market with cheap stuff that's okay. And I think Google's trying that with Pixel. Apple's, of course, that's always been their brand. But I think you're going to start seeing third parties out of China releasing premium devices at a premium price, and that it's going to have a more appeal to the wider audience. And that not only the premium hardware, but it's going to be after sale service. And that's where all phones have always had a problem. You buy the phone once, and then they abandon you. You're lucky if you get a couple of updates. And I think that's the model that people are going to be looking to in 2017 because it's the only way. It's going to be the only way to sell phones anymore.
I'll tell you what, Google Fi has that down. They've got great customer service still, and I mean, maybe they're not that big yet, but they support their products they're selling, the Nexuses and the Pixels.
All right, so I just pulled that out of my posterior right there on the spot, but that's what I think.
You've got good stuff in that wallet.
Nice. Oh, I have not. I have one more prediction. Mm-hmm. I'll say. But it's not about Android. The prediction is kind of like the old rap songs back in the day. We are now at war. It has begun. People don't know it. It started. We're now having many Hollywood people come, quote unquote, down to our level and start to do podcast material and being talent in dramatic and fictional podcast. We have also stars coming down doing nonfiction type podcast. This is a war. I'm going to tell you right now, people, this is a war. And it's a war of commercialism versus non-commercialism. It's against people doing something because they think it's the future and they want to make money off of it versus people who are doing things because they have a passion of learning and sharing and communicating with people. I ask you people out there to vote with your attention, vote with your downloads, and vote with your contributions, vote with your donations. With that, thank you very much. Kevin McLaughlin, he's going to help my kids have a good Christmas is what I'm going to say because of his donation. Don't donate to celebrities that won't communicate with you because you're beneath them. Don't download celebrities who really don't care about you and your belongings or your family or your passions or your interests. Don't pay attention. Don't contribute to the ad sponsorships that are with them. Because all it is a nasty, nasty, never-ending cycle of materialism and mass media. Podcast is not about mass media. Podcast is about personal relationships and communications between normal people. I beg everyone out there, keep it that way.
Well put, Dor. I totally agree with you.
What you just described is basically Etsy versus Amazon. Amazon is commodity cheap. You hope for the best, or maybe Etsy versus what's the Chinese one?
Help me. Alibaba.
Alibaba. Yeah. Etsy versus Alibaba. It's you either run to the rock bottom price or you get something handcrafted by somebody who cares about it. We're Etsy, and we're the community that began this whole podcasting stuff. Yeah, there are a few rich and famous guys out there doing it, but for the most part, by the numbers, podcast is artisanal. It's the Etsy. It's the handmade stuff, and we created the market, and now the big guys are trying to swoop in. Alibaba is trying to swoop in and corner that market, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but you know, the artisanal podcasts are going to go away if we can't survive, you know, in the market.
But I just wonder how many of those will make it past episode 40. You look at this podcast, you look at the podcast on this network, and these podcasts have been going on for a long time. And there's something to that, because there's a lot of them that last about 30 or 40 episodes and they give up because it is work sometimes, you know. We happen to love this work, so it's easy for us. We make it seem easy, you know, maybe easier than it might totally be, but they're going to figure out that it's work too. And I just don't see them sticking with it. They'll go back to what they used to do, even though there's nothing left there.
And I'm going to repeat my refrain. If you like something, pay for it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll say, Eric, no, they're going to use podcast as a tool to say, look at my download numbers. Now, when I go do this TV show or I go do this movie, you need to pay me more money. Because I'm going to bring all my... That's what they do with Twitter. We have Ashton Kutcher became the number one person on Twitter. Once that happened, Twitter is now a mainly useless tool by bots and by celebrities. Unless you really do care what Kanye West thinks. Personally, I don't, because I know Kanye West doesn't care what I think. Same kind of thing. Yeah. They're going to come in. They're going to use it. They're going to have teams of people doing marketing. They're going to have teams of people doing editing. They're going to have teams of people doing promoting, and which means they're going to have a lot of ads, a lot of sponsorship, and they're going to have to charge a top dollar for it, and they're going to have to milk every listener for everything they can possibly milk you for. I hope you listeners realize that. And we, on this network, do the bare minimum to survive. I just got a surprise bill that I didn't realize. Podnuts, if you go take a look, Podnuts is expiring the domain in less than 30 days. And I didn't know it was coming, but because of the support of this network, I also am not sweating.
Yeah, all that costs money.
Yeah, and I'm not here to get Podnuts to pay for my bandwidth, Eric's bandwidth, Mark's bandwidth. I'm not here to get it to pay for Mark's grocery bill, Eric's grocery bill, my grocery bill. We're here for fun. If we can make that kind of money, great, but we're not coming into that expected.
And I think all of us, our goal is to be, you know, full-time podcasters at some point. If it can happen, we'll make it happen. If the opportunity is there for us to do that and still survive on Earth, I think all of us would jump at that opportunity, because that is, you know, that's doing what you love as a job, which is like the ultimate goal, I think.
I agree.
And so having said all of that, the best way to show your support for this show and others is patreon.com. In this case, patreon.com/androidappaddicts. It's not only... Is it the best way because you can throw money? And that's good, but there are other ways to do that. But you stand up and you you're counted. It's a public thing. A lot of people like to do the anonymous tip jar thing, or they like to use the Amazon referrals or whatever. Those are all great things, but it's anonymous. And as a podcaster, the thing that feeds you most is knowing that people are listening and people care. Knowing that if you stop doing it, somebody would mind. And Patreon is a good way to do that. You stand up with your face and your name, or a pseudonym and a fake picture, and you say, I am here. And also you're donating your money. You're saying, I like this thing. I want it to continue. So I'm going to pay for it. You know, most of the people listening to this podcast right now, have left a $20 tip in the last month to a waitress. But you probably haven't tipped your favorite podcasters $20 ever, if you add it all up. You know, that's me. I was in that boat for a very long time. I came behind my microphone and I begged for money, but I didn't support anybody else until I really sort of came under a conviction about that I need to put my money where my mouth is. And so I'm making that plea, not because I'm going to get some of that money, but because it's the right thing to do. So there you go. I didn't mean to preach, but I did.
So celebrities coming on stage, do let me say that people hear podcasts other places than my mouth. So, you know, that's the only positive out of that. Don't worry. I'm the optimist, I guess. I look for the positive in things. People hear the word podcast elsewhere.
That's true. I mean, still, I mean, every day I use the word podcast and somebody says, what's mm-hmm. that? Okay. Anything else, Eric? 30 seconds. Ready to go.
No. Thank you guys for a great year. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope everybody has a good holidays, good New Year's, and we will see you on the next show.
Your 30 seconds go.
Thank you, Mark. I love you, brother. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Steve Trevino. Thank you, Steve D. Thank you, Tim Sturr. Thank you, Sean Johnson. Thank you, Jose Cuervo. That is not his name, but Jose. Thank you, Ellis Owens. Thank you, everyone who's ever supported this show in any shape, way, or form. And thanks, everyone who supported this network in any shape, way, or form. I'm having a blast, and I really do thank everybody.
All right, and I appreciate being here. Last year, a little more than a year ago, when Steve Cherubino stepped down, I kind of sent Dor an email and said, can I please? And I really, every week, I'm privileged to be here, and I'm glad you haven't thrown me off yet. So thanks for hanging out with us, and I'm going to say that's it for this episode of the Android App.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.